You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers Wednesday edition, and to answer the multitude of questions out there once I brought Eric Crocker on as my co-host here full-time, we're still doing Winky Wednesdays, folks. Nick Winker will be joining us every Wednesday as normal. So we've got Peacock, we've got Crocker, we've got Winkler on today's program. Talk about the latest 49ers. Big news happening here before we're going live. So we'll talk about that new addition at wide receiver and some familiar faces coming in to visit and potentially be added to the roster. A couple of people on their way out from the roster as well. So let's get into this Winky Wednesday and bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Action News 8 Sports with Nick Winkler.
Eric Crocker.
All right. I had to drop everybody's sounder there to get this thing going. Croc, Wink, what's going on, guys? Are you pumped for this three-way Winky Wednesday?
You know, it's been a while. I haven't seen Nick. I mean, we met one time a few years back at the draft party. So that was cool. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well. We've got a lot of 209 represented here on the podcast. It was fun.
That's right.
I still got to get the pizza.
The Michael's Pizza, Stockton what? Natives, and the ranch.
Yeah, we got to make that happen here soon.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the latest, this just came down, the 49ers adding wide receiver Jones.
Woo!
You guys pumped for it? Not Julio. Andy Jones. I don't know who Andy Jones is. Croc, you're actually our wide receiver expert. Can you give us the scouting report on Andy Jones?
I think I failed you guys because when I saw that name pop up, I'm like, I typically know at least like something like the cornerback Mark Fields, right? I'm like, oh, Fields, I remember him. He was at Clemson. I couldn't tell you anything about him, but I at least knew who he was. Like this Jones guy, I have no idea. I had to look it up and I'm like, who is he?
He's a friend of a friend of a friend of Adam Peters, probably.
So I'm seeing 6'1", 26 years old. He last appeared in a football game in 2018, originally signed as an undrafted free agent by the Cowboys, and then was cut in training camp to start before that 2017 season. So the 49ers obviously adding, you know, wide receivers to the back end of the roster. The big question is, are they going to add a different Jones to the top end of the roster? Because they still have one open roster spot. The 49ers cut a pair of players, tight end Daniel Helm and the fifth quarterback Josh Johnson. And we kind of all knew that Josh Johnson wasn't going to make it very long with the 49ers, or at least one of those quarterbacks was going to get cut, because you're not going to go with five quarterbacks into training camp, especially when you need to get QB1 and QB2 now a whole bunch of reps, right? So there's not going to be much left even for 3 and 4 currently. So Josh Johnson is now gone, and my math guys, they added one wide receiver and dropped two players. Still room for Julio. I don't know if there's any relation of Julio and Andy there, but there is some room.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised it kind of took this long to release Johnson. I thought there was no way you take five quarterbacks into camp. Obviously, you want to get Garoppolo a lot of his reps. You want to get the young guy, Trey Lance, his reps. And then, like, three more guys, you have to figure out how to get guys' reps where they're splitting up, like, one rep each in each period. Like, there was no way. So I thought it would be Johnson that would be the first guy out. I just didn't think it would take this long.
Yeah, like Brian said, I think last week on Winky Wednesday, he was saying, you know, what if something does happen, you know, and you're going into week 1 and Trey Lance isn't quite ready? Like, you got to have that number 3 guy who could possibly jump in there ahead of Jimmy, you know, and that's not going to be Josh Johnson. So it made a whole lot of sense for them to get rid of him to kind of give everybody else more reps. You got to get reps. You got to get in the system. You got to do it over and over and over. And 5 guys, that wasn't going to happen.
I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a quarterback competition there. Everyone's talking about Jimmy and Trey Lance, but what about that competition for QB3 now? You've got Josh Rosen and you got Nate Sudfeld, who they brought in. I mean, that's going to be at least somewhat interesting, right? And potentially, yeah, like you just said, Trey Lance, look, is a 21-year-old rookie. He hasn't played a lot of ball. Maybe week 1, he's not even the number 2 quarterback. Croc, if something happens to Jimmy Garoppolo early in the season, do you just throw Trey Lance in there no matter what?
Yeah. I've watched Sudfeld play. Watched him last year. I mean, he came in reserve for Jalen Hurts. First of all, if he couldn't beat out Jalen Hurts for a number two spot, you know, nothing against Jalen Hurts, but he's not like, I thought he was a running back coming out of college. So, you know, to see like, well, you were behind him and then, okay, you came in for him late in the fourth quarter of a game and it still was really ugly. I don't think there's a whole lot of expectations for him. So I think I'd rather throw out my rookie quarterback and just roll with the lumps and let him just get that experience, even if it doesn't look very pretty. I'd rather that than play Nate Sudfeld. I think you just I think there's under no circumstances do you play him over Trey Lance if Trey Lance is healthy.
You got to get him off the roster then. He's just taking up space.
Just take two quarterbacks, right, and keep that 13th wide receiver. Why not?
Are they doing the thing again this year where you can have like veterans on practice squad? Because if so, then it makes sense to have a guy like Sudfeld.
Yeah,
but they gave him money. They gave him some of the guaranteed money.
It seemed like based on Josh Rosen being the practice squad guy, they got called up late in the season and they gave at least Sudfeld a little bit of scratch that Sudfeld would be kind of the number three guy. And I think he's probably the odds on favorite. And when we see reps in camp, it's probably gonna be Sudfeld first, then Josh Rosen. That's just the vibe I get.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think that Rosen would really have to prove something. You know, he'd really have to shine a whole lot brighter than Sudfeld just because, you know, you look at the film of football. Yeah, Crock, you say he didn't look very good. Rosen looked horrible. I mean, Rosen looked really bad. So you pray for injury-free, you know, Jimmy G going, you know, heading out of camp, and you hope that Trey Lance can sit for a little while. You know, and I like the idea of throwing him in there if you have to because you got a pretty great offensive line going into the season. You know, you've given them all kinds of weapons. You might even add another weapon, you know, a nice veteran coming into camp. And that's what you can only ask for that, right? If you're a young guy, a rookie going in, you're in a great position to succeed. And hopefully none of that happens.
And the more I think about it, just roll with two quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Use that extra roster spot for whatever you need it for, whether it's a running back or a wide receiver. Or you need to stash somebody really quick, before you put them on IR, somebody that's hurt, but you don't want to release them first and then bring them back onto the team. Someone that you want to, maybe some young player that you want to stash, you don't want to lose. Trey Lance, if he's not ready to go, even as the backup, that would be somewhat worrisome, right? Would that be something you'd be worried about if he can't even, he's number three overall pick, and those guys play early, man.
I think you kind of have to roll with three quarterbacks, though, and not because what if this guy, you know, isn't playing well or whatever. It's really more so Jimmy Garoppolo getting hurt. And he's kind of shown, and it's not even like something that happens late in the year. It's like right away he's hurt and he's going to miss an extended period of time. And if that happens, you at least want someone that has been in-house for a while. And, you know, so I think more so than anything, that's why you keep three guys. And I think it kind of hurts the 49ers as far as depth at other positions.
Right. And you mentioned, his injury history, and they talk about Trey Lance coming out of college as the smartest quarterback in there, right? That being said, this Kyle Shanahan playbook is tricky. You know, it's going to take a lot for this kid to really, you know, grasp it and be able to get out there and run more than just a handful of plays. And if you're just running a handful of plays against NFL caliber defenses, they're going to pick up on that pretty quick. So I think you might be right about the three quarterback thing, at least early on. You know, maybe you have it at least game one and you think, okay. You know, it's looking all right, you know, week two, week three. And then maybe after a little while, will they feel really comfortable with Lance in practice? Yeah, they go down to just two.
Did they do Josh Rosen dirty by signing him off of the Tampa Bay practice squad? So Rosen gets signed, then doesn't get a ring because he left the team before the Bucs go and win a Super Bowl. And then the Niners cut him anyway, and he doesn't make the team. That would be rough, right? At least he would have an opportunity and something to tell his grandkids and be like, hey, look, here's that Super Bowl ring from the 2020 Super Bowl that that grandpa was on the roster for. Didn't play or anything, so don't go look up the stats, but at least you got a ring to show for it, right?
And you can't say he didn't help because, hey, practice is important. He was out there, right?
Yeah, dude. I mean, how is the defense supposed to get better if you don't have that practice squad quarterback throwing picks to you?
Build up that confidence.
You know, one thing that's really important, I think that kind of gets overlooked. I know we talk about the third string quarterback and do you need them or even a backup quarterback. But for them, and you talked about the battle that could be between Rosen and Sudfeld, I think the biggest battle is kind of who can kiss the most but a little bit, right? Like who can be like just the, yes, sir, the best backup, like the most supportive guy for Trey Lance,
yeah,
like the most like studious one for the coaches. Like that's the guy that's going to stick around. Like at that point, it has nothing to do with how good you are. Like they don't want you to have to play at all.
Guys,
so you have to bring something else. Yeah, you have to bring something else. And you better be a good butt kisser.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And knowing the playbook so well that when you're standing there and QB2 and QB3 are standing on the sideline next to each other and you're watching the game, you're talking to the rookie all game long and be like, this is and this is what you're seeing here. So you have somebody that you can bounce stuff off of. And I think that's pretty important probably for a rookie quarterback to have a veteran that he can talk to, someone that really knows the playbook, understands what's going on in the field, that he can bounce ideas off of, that he can learn from. So yeah, it's all about the incubation of that young quarterback.
Maybe that's what they paid Sudfeld for. You know, he's coming over. His quarterback coach was Scangarello.
Yep.
Maybe he knows, like, hey, what type of person he is. He has good understanding. He just maybe doesn't have the physical capabilities or maybe something that doesn't quite click on the field. But mentally, he's good. And if he's talking to that rookie quarterback, maybe Garoppolo's gone or maybe Garoppolo just isn't very warming and welcoming. Like, you know, it has looked a little weird. Like, not to try to look, you know, too far into these things, but I'm looking at body language a little bit. I'm looking at just some of the things he's saying. And I know I heard him say, you know, he wants this to kind of happen more organically, but I could just tell he's not quite like, okay, like this is a legit competition for him. Like I want to win this. I'm going to go out there. I win games. That's what I do. Right. That's what he said. Like, he's kind of attacking this a different way. And I know the rookie's just coming in here just all happy and like, oh, I'm so excited. And it's like, Jimmy's like, I'm not letting this guy take my spot. And I can kind of see that a little bit with the body language when you see them on the field.
Maybe Sudfeld is kind of like another quarterback coach at this point, where there's like, you get in there, you know, you be there for Trey Lance if he has questions, because Jimmy's busy doing other stuff.
Jimmy's busy playing. He gets to be on the field and playing because, but I like it. I love that mentality that you're talking about there, Croc, of him being ready to go, ready to compete. And he's like, no way you're going to beat me out, Rook. Like, this is going to be my job. And you can be nice to a guy and be teammates with a guy and be professional while also, you know, crushing him in a competition if that's your goal. So that's – and that helps the 49ers, right? That helps the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo is playing the best he's played. So that means the 49ers are for sure getting better quarterback play this year and probably for the foreseeable future, because Trey Lance is going to have to step it up if he's going to beat that guy out.
Competition's great at every level.
Love it. Yeah. Yep. Iron sharpens iron, right? As they say. I'm sure we'll hear a lot of that when training camp starts. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of people visiting the 49ers that they could sign. One very familiar name next. I love Built Bar Day. Got a package in my mailbox. Built Bar has delicious 9 original flavors, but occasionally you get that limited edition flavor. Grasshopper cookie showed up. If you love Thin Mints, you're gonna love the grasshopper flavor of Built Bar. Only 150 calories in this flavor, with a whopping 17 grams of protein and only 5 grams of sugar. The original 9 flavors: coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate. I love the peanut butter flavors. Like, all of the peanut butter flavors are awesome, in my opinion. Goes so great with the consistency. Oh, yeah. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate. So go to BuiltBar.com, build your own box of Built Bars. Use promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your first order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Convenient self-service at RockAuto.com, where you can shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, jumper cables, even new carpet for your classic cars, your daily driver. Get everything you need in just a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer, and best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers alike. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Probably not the reports that people were hoping to hear on June 1st. Signing a wide receiver named Jones, first name Andy. Doesn't move the needle a lot. But how about this one, guys? From Mike Garofolo, free agent tight end Delanie Walker, flying to Santa Clara for a workout with the 49ers Wednesday. Perhaps another stint with the Niners. Walker, who was with the team from 2006 to 2012, Walker sat out last year but said on the Pat McAfee show in December that he would be playing in 2021. Wink, I know you're a big fan of Delanie Walker. What do you think about D-Love was his nickname, right? What do you think about D-Love back in the red and gold?
How could you not love that, right? You know, you start thinking back to him and Vernon Davis. You know, it was like, oh, that was quite a combination out there. And you think, oh, maybe he's got a little something left. And you get Kittle on one side. And, you know, you get Walker out there on the other side. It was back in, I think it was 2018. I was doing a little coverage of the Niners, and they were playing the Titans. And so I got to go into the Titans locker room and ask questions after the game. And the Niners had just won. You know, so the Titans were just really upset. And you could just tell no one wanted to talk. And Walker was sitting right there. So I walked up to him. I was just like, I'm gonna lob him a softball question, you know, just something real easy. I was like, hey, how does it feel, you know, to be back in the Bay, you know? And he's just like, oh, my heart will always be in the Bay. And I was like, okay, all right. Maybe there's a reunion in the future. I like the sound of that, you know? So how could you not want Delanie Walker on your football team? That's fantastic.
There you go. I love it. Yeah, it's been – I was like, okay, so we opted out last year, and I was thinking, man, it's been a while. So I think back to, like, you know, fantasy football, Titans, Delanie Walker. When was the last time I rostered Delanie Walker? I was like, yeah, no, it's been a while. So I went and looked back. 2019, he only caught 21 passes. Only played one game because of injury in 2018, caught four passes. So you got to go all the way back to 2017, four seasons ago. He had that 74-catch, 800-yard season, and it was, you know, a nice run, four straight years there in Tennessee where he was doing big things and putting up big numbers. But that was 4 years ago, and Delanie is about to turn 37 years old in August. So this is going to be his age 37 season. Hasn't really put up numbers in 4 years and didn't play at all last year. So I know there's a nostalgia there, but, Croc, I don't know, what can you even expect to get on the field from Delanie Walker at this point?
You know, he seems like somebody that has taken, you know, very good care of his body. You know, when you're approaching 37 years old, obviously it's not going to work like it used to, especially when he was coming out of college. Remember, when he was coming out of college, I think he went to Division II school. He was a wide receiver and kind of came on as like this H-back slash tight end.
Return man? Didn't he return some kicks for the Niners?
Yeah, he did all that. But, you know, he's definitely not that anymore. And now, not having, you know, played a whole lot of games, I think it's like eight games since 2018. I don't think you can expect a whole lot, but the 49ers don't need a whole lot. So can he be better than Ross Dwelly? I'm pretty sure he's looking at, like, even my old self maybe can't move as well as I did, you know, coming out of college. I can still play better than this guy, and I understand the things more. And the game moves slow for me. That's a big part of it, right? Like, the game slowing down for guys and kind of understanding angles and leverage, the things that helped Anquan Boldin play extremely well when he was traded to 49ers. Like, he wasn't fast or anything by any means, but he understood how to attack, you know, leverages and put himself in position to catch contested passes consistently. Can Delanie Walker do those type of things and bring that type of aspect to the 49ers? If so, then, you know, there could potentially be something there, and they're trying to figure that out with a workout on Wednesday.
I could see that, like, kind of has some savvy old man game and still has enough quicks to get open underneath and maybe not make big plays like he used to, but just get open and catch the ball and be smart and be tough. And if your heart's still in it, then I'm definitely not going to put anything past Delanie Walker. I've been recently playing some pickup basketball again. My knee, first of all, is very pissed off about it. There's a bunch of old guys out there, and I'm jealous of the old man game because I haven't quite developed the old man basketball game yet. And I need, like, the footwork, and I hadn't played basketball since last February. It's been over a year jumping out with these older guys, and, like, man, they're like, you know, you get the ball in the post, and I'm like, okay, I'm taller and younger than this guy. I should be able to score very easily. He's like poking the ball out from behind me. Like, gosh dang, I got, you know, I'm like, I don't know where the rim is. I'm lost on the court. My footwork is bad. My touch is bad around the rim. Like, I was like hoping that the old guy game would just set in, but apparently you got to work on it. So Maybe Delanie Walker has that going for him. And look, they like Delanie Walker apparently more than Daniel Helm, who they just released. And there is some room for some depth at wide receiver. And apparently they want a wide receiver, a tight end that's shaped like Delanie Walker. And obviously they lost their guy last year that was kind of playing that move tight end role. And they're also bringing in Mycole Pruitt, who is almost exactly, I think 6'2", 248 and 6'2", 245 is what these two wide receiver, these two tight ends are listed at. Mycole Pruitt, by the way, shadow 49er from 2015. So maybe they can make good on that one. And he's bounced around. He hasn't done much, but also with the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans lost Jonnu Smith and don't want either one of these guys back. So what does it tell you about Delanie Walker and Mycole Pruitt? But Mycole Pruitt's never been much for... Here's what's crazy. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And I don't know how much Titans football you guys have watched, but in 2019, that was the last year that Delanie Walker played in Tennessee because he opted out last year. Mycole Pruitt started 10 games, but caught six passes. But he's only 6'2", 245, yeah. And he wasn't like a block first tight end necessarily, but that tells me maybe they're running a lot of two tight end sets and he was sort of the blocking tight end and then would leave the game after starting. But also he doesn't have any receptions and he's not built like a blocking tight end. And I haven't seen Mycole Pruitt play since way back in the day when I was looking at him as a shadow 49er. So I don't know what the heck to think about Mycole Pruitt because you look at his stats and it doesn't really make sense.
He's a deep
What did you like about him when he was coming out?
He was athletic. He was Delanie Walker. Like the Delanie Walker replacement, a move tight end. He was really athletic. He was a rocked up guy. He was a little straight lineish and kind of stiff, but he was really athletic and fast. Coming out of Southern Illinois, I thought, okay, this is one of those guys that you come in and can be, you know, a backup tight end and do something. And he was a day three guy. I think he ended up being a fifth rounder of the Vikings and bounced around Chicago, Minnesota, Houston, and then stuck with Tennessee for the last 3 years. But He was athletic and strong and you know he looked like somebody who could develop, but I honestly haven't seen much of him at all in the pros, so I don't know what he looks like these days as a player.
Yeah, back to Walker. You know, even if he can recapture a little bit of what he had there, you know, back in 2017, a little bit of 2018, I think maybe they kind of want him to play that Jordan Reed role, you know, because he's gone now and he didn't play every snap. He didn't play that many snaps, but when he did, you know, they try to find a way to get him involved in the offense. They try to at least make the defense know that he's there, you know, and take note. Okay, we got to watch this guy. You know, so maybe that's the kind of thing they're looking for in Walker. Maybe his blocking skills are still there, and that's what they're looking for in that number two tight end, even number three, just somebody to get in there and sort of help out that tight end room too.
I get the feeling they're not super stoked on Charlie Warner, their fifth round pick, or no, sixth round pick. What? Was he fifth rounder, sixth rounder last year? Anyway, he was seventh rounder. When was Charlie Warner drafted last year? I can't remember now.
In a round.
I thought it was fifth.
Fifth, yeah, maybe fifth round pick. And he, you know, he didn't play much. And Ross Dwelly bulked up, by the way. Have you seen the pictures of Ross Dwelly? Put on a couple pounds. I think he's coming in ready to go, ready to play. And I think he's going to be the number two guy. But whether it's Mycole Pruitt or Delanie Walker would have their work cut out for him to beat out Ross Dwelly, I think, even though Ross Dwelly doesn't set the world on fire. But we saw, yeah, you mentioned it, Jordan Reed. The 49ers obviously are looking for that sort of a smaller, athletic tight end, and they currently don't have that on the roster. So, yeah.
Maybe they're looking for a guy that, you know, we talked about losing Kendrick Bourne and kind of his role, that possession receiver, that third down guy. Maybe they're trying to go about it more of a two tight end set. So you still have your two receivers, you got George Kittle, and then maybe another tight end that kind of just is able to utilize that similar type role as Kendrick Bourne.
That's what I was going to say. Looking at Mycole Pruitt or Delanie Walker, the 37-year-old version, or whoever else it is, when I look at the 49ers roster, I'm like, what about Jalen Hurd? What about Juwan Jennings? If you're bringing in someone who's a quote-unquote tight end, but they're not going to really do much blocking and they're not going to be as much in line, what about these other guys you have on the roster? Why not keep an extra wide receiver and try to mold one of those players into that sort of a bigger slot weapon? Mohamed Sanu. And Mohamed Sanu will block you, too. Like, he'll hit the heck out of you. I like Mohamed Sanu for that role. But it doesn't seem like bringing on a fourth tight end or a third tight end, probably a fourth tight end, doesn't it seem like you utilizing one of those bigger body wide receivers they have to do some of those things in the passing game would bear more fruit? I don't know. It just seems kind of odd. We've got a ton of questions to get to here to finish up this Winky Wednesday episode. Some for Croc, some for Wink, some for me, I think I see in here. Oh, and actually, there's another tight end out there that I want to ask you guys about next. Bet Online is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, full swing. There's something there all season long, all summer long to bet on. But we've got NHL and NBA playoffs happening. Those are always super fun to bet on as the summer gets started. UFC, MMA action. We've got golf tournaments. We've got horse racing. There's no end to things you can bet on at betonline.ag. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop, mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Reality TV, award shows, you name it. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams are in their playoff runs. Head to the website or use your mobile device. Sign up today, betonline.ag, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On for 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. How about this one? Zach Ertz. What if the 49ers can't get a Julio Jones deal done? What about Zach Ertz? Jeremy Fowler reported from ESPN that there have been talks on a potential Zach Ertz trade. They've been going on for a while, but have been quiet as of late. At least three tight end needy teams have looked into this. Eagles have made clear they won't part for nothing in return, so they're not going to release him, but things could pick back up this week. That is according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. What do you think, Wink? Zach Ertz as a consolation prize to Julio Jones?
I mean, we're talking, you know, Delanie Walker, we're talking Jordan Reed, we're talking guys that, you know, a little bit past their prime, right? And, I mean, Zach Ertz, he's had a little injury history here the last couple of years. I've had him on fantasy, you know, the last couple of years. I'm like, yeah, I finally got Zach Ertz on my team. He's going to catch 100 balls. Oh, he's out again? Oh, he's going to miss another week? Okay, cool. So, no, obviously, if you can get him and he's not too expensive, he's going to add to your football team. He's going to just be another weapon that's out there on the field. So, if he's not too expensive, yeah, I'd say go get him.
A lot closer to his prime, right, Croc? He had 88 catches for 916 yards 2 years ago. Last year played 11 games, only had 36 catches. So, but obviously before that, a huge run of at least 800 yards for five straight years receiving. I would think if you want someone to get open and catch the ball, Zach Ertz is your guy. The question is cost, obviously.
Yeah, and I think Dallas Goedert, having him kind of pushed Ertz out of there. You know, I don't think they're just letting him go just to let him go or wanting to trade him. It's like, hey, we have like the next guy and we want to continue to get him more targets without having to worry about Zach Ertz. So obviously if he, you know, does become available, which it sounds like he is, the 49ers, that's something that they should really be looking into. I would assume that they want to see first, hey, what do we have? Because, I mean, Walker and this Pruitt guy, like they could just be quote-unquote camp bodies, right? Mm-hmm. But if you really want someone to kind of take over that type of role as a legit tight end too, I think you're going to wait to see first what can or can't we get out of Ross Dwelly. Like, does he take this next step to where we feel comfortable with him really being a guy on the field? Last year, remember, they put out Jordan Reed ahead of him. Mm-hmm. So if it's a situation like that again where they're just like, well, okay, we're okay with Dwelly if we have to play him.
Right.
And we don't like, you know, Delanie Walker or Pruitt or whoever they decide to bring in, or even Charlie Warner. I assume they don't want any parts with him really because he was more of a blocking tight end coming out anyways. Now, I think that's when a guy like Zach Ertz definitely makes more sense, but I would assume that it would be more towards the end of training camp where they get ready for the season and they're like, all right, we'll take a 6th-round pick for him. And 49ers give that up.
Yeah, it would have to be something that's bargain basement for the 49ers to do it and for it to make sense. But they've got the salary cap room most likely after they sign their draft picks. It'd be a lot easier to fit Zach Ertz in than it would be for Julio Jones. Or, you know, maybe they decide on the defensive side of the ball that Richard Sherman's that guy. But there is space. There's one open roster spot right now on the 49ers roster. There's Zach Ertz. There's Julio Jones. There's Richard Sherman. Wink, I'm going to put it to you. You're in charge. You got a roster spot. Who fills it for you?
I like Richard Sherman. You know, I like the leadership he brings to the locker room. I like the way he plays on the field. Yeah, he can get beat every once in a while, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to take Richard Sherman against a wide receiver on the outside. Like, he's done it his whole career. And there's still so many question marks there in the secondary with all those small deals that they made. And I know it'd be another small deal, but I don't know. Ertz is such a question mark with his injury history, and Julio would be so expensive to get. They've already given up so much. If it's up to me, I'm going Sherman. I don't even think there's a close second.
And Kroc, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, so I think I know what your answer is. But the question now is, what would you give up for Julio Jones? Like second and fourth? Are you cool with that?
I'd give up a second for sure. Now, fourth, we'll kind of see. But I'm also assuming that I can recoup that second round pick after trading Jimmy Garoppolo. So I'm kind of looking at it big picture. I think everybody else is kind of looking at it right now where, oh, if you just trade a second for Julio Jones, now you have no draft capital. And I'm like, Jimmy's getting traded after this season. If he has a solid year, then he definitely can go for a second round pick. If not, potentially a late first round pick. So, you know, I feel like I will get something for Jimmy Garoppolo as long as he stays healthy. In that scenario, I definitely would like to get Julio Jones. And I kind of look at it from the perspective of, you know, on defense, 49ers had a top five defense last year, you know, yardage-wise. And Richard Sherman wasn't really a big part of that. In the sense of being, like, on the field, right? Maybe mentally he was, but being on the field, he wasn't. Offensively, 49ers, I mean, it's so hard for them. They have to, like, kind of nickel and dime until maybe George Kittle has a big play. It would be nice to be able to have Julio Jones or George Kittle. And, oh, by the way, we got Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. And I think that's like just – you turn into like the scariest offense, right, mm-hmm. when you have those guys. And I didn't even mention like a Raheem Mostert who can score at any point mm-hmm. in the game. And then you have Kyle Shanahan being able to play puppet master. So I just look at that and it takes you from being like, oh, yeah, that's a really good team. Or they have a solid offense to like, oh, man, they're – NFC favorites because they got Julio Jones and he still is extremely good and productive, you know, even in these later years of his career.
Okay, how about this? The Falcons say, okay, Kroc, second rounder is good, but we have a couple other teams that have offered a second rounder and one of those teams in the AFC, and we'd rather send him to the AFC than the NFC, so we need a tiebreaker. How about a 2023 fourth, but it's conditional? So a second rounder in 2022, a fourth rounder in 2023 that's conditional on Julio playing 8 games this year. Yes or no?
Yeah, I would have to do that 100%.
There you go. That's it. Done deal. Julio Jones getting the last roster spot. Sorry, Nick, it's not going to be Richard Sherman. I'm interested in Sherman.
I want Julio.
I know you would have no problem with Julio. Sherman played a couple of the snaps playing that little kind of safety role middle of the field there. That mm-hmm. would be interesting to see in the 49ers defense or even in whatever defense he ends up playing. The fact that he's not in New York with the Jets right now is a little bit odd to me. I would think that, you know, new they don't have a ton of talent at corner over there. New defensive coordinator, you would want guys that could come in and help just like he did with the 49ers and help that defense along and help that scheme along. Maybe Sherm doesn't want to go to the East Coast and play in New York. I have no idea. So I don't know. Oh, another player, by the way, that is on the New York Jets now, Ronald Blair. They just signed Ronald Blair, former
49er. That hurt deep. I love Blair.
Super Blair. You're a fan of his, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've always been a Blair guy. But, you know, it makes sense. I'm surprised more guys haven't gone to the Jets. Like, it makes sense. Every time I see a Niner or anyone connected to the 49ers at all going to the Jets, I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I thought Kawan Williams or Kelly Witherspoon, like one or both of them would end up there, and neither of them. I mean, and Kawan Williams kind of came back to the 49ers as like a last resort.
Right. Well, they did steal Bryce Hall in the 5th round last year, so I think that's a nice fit for Robert Saleh's defense in New York there. So Bryce Hall, I think, is going to be a nice corner for the New York Jets. I know you were a fan of him somewhat, Kroc, last year. We have a lot of time left. I want to hit a couple of questions really quick. And this one's up your alley, Eric. This is from Matt. He said, hey, boys, loving the new addition of Kroc to the pod. He also tagged at Bay Area Wink in this question. Do we have any info about the Niners uniforms this year? Are we getting a 94 red throwback for the 75th anniversary or sticking with the sweet white throwbacks from the last 2 years? That's Matt from Nottingham, UK. Shout out to all the UK listeners. Kroc, you're all over the uniform stuff. They're going reds, right? Did I see that somewhere?
I thought I saw that earlier in the offseason where they were like up for sale, or they put them up somewhere, and that kind of was alluding to the fact that they will probably wear them this year. So the 49ers haven't done the state of the franchise yet, right? I bet when they do that, they'll announce that those red uniforms will be worn this year.
The worst uniforms in 49er history with the white pants. I'm not a fan. I know everybody loves them.
Yeah, the all whites are definitely better than the red the white.
100%. Yeah.
I think it's because of what they meant like at that time.
Of course.
You know, the crazy thing is we always talk about like, you know, the all white uniforms from 94, the red and white uniforms. Even after that, they had like that dark red
uniform,
like 98 and stuff.
Yeah.
But they had all white uniforms with those as well. And nobody ever talks about those. I thought they were kind of solid.
Yeah, I like those. The maroon color was bad too, but just something about the white pants with the red, it didn't make sense. Like, it should have been gold pants.
What do you wear with that? What color shoes you go with, Croc, with that look?
Purple.
Red and white. Just go look up, Google Deion Sanders and look at what he did, and then you just mimic that.
Do that, yeah.
Neck band and, all right. That's good stuff. Hold on. Let's see if we got any more questions real quick. We're out of time. We're over time. That's okay. Croc, that's one of the things we're going to have to really try to do is keep these short, and especially on Wednesdays, because Nick and I always go long. It's always easy to go long with Crocker, too, because every time I would have Crocker on the show before, we'd be like, hey, I want to talk about a couple corners. We'd talk for an hour and be like, well, I guess it's going to be a 2 or 3-part episode because I can't fit it all in 30 minutes. It's so easy. Ertz, we've already talked about Ertz. There was a question there. Let's see here. Oh, there was a question about Robbie Anderson. So here's my thoughts with the 49ers wide receiver position. I think it's kind of Julio or nothing, not necessarily for me, but for the way the 49ers are looking at this thing, because they had a chance to draft a wide receiver if they wanted to, and they didn't want one. So I don't know how bad they want a receiver. They're bringing in the Andy Joneses and the Benny Fowlers of the world. It doesn't sound like they really believe that they need a number 3, number 4 wide receiver. I think they like the guys they are bringing to camp, but Julio Jones is sort of a game changer. And you change your plans for that type of a player. Correct me if I'm wrong. Croc, do you have a feel about maybe if the 49ers would go in a different direction and spend a draft pick to go get someone like Robbie Anderson into the offense?
I think that would be a situation like Emmanuel Sanders where they kind of let it play out. They see, does somebody take control of that role? If you can't get anything out of Richie James or Jalen Hurd or, you know, any of the other 10 receivers that they have or bringing into camp, if you're not getting what you want out of them from that, you know, around the trade deadline, then you look into a Robbie Anderson or someone that you feel like, you know what, this absolutely takes our offense and receiver group over, you know, over that hill. And I think that's when you make that type of move. But I don't think that's something that you would typically see from them where they are right now, like heading into the season.
I like what you're talking about with Anderson, though. He definitely changes that wide receiving room and would change the playbook because he could stretch the field. I mean, you're talking about a guy with some speed that can really get behind the defense. And I'd love it. But again, if it costs too much, I think you roll in with what you got.
Yeah. You know, I feel like you mentioned the 49ers want to roll with what they got too. And that's one of the big keys. And maybe that's why they're not even going to add Julio Jones. And they're looking at a number 4 tight end right now instead of on the phone with the Falcons about Julio Jones. By the way, with the latest on the Julio stuff, price for Julio Jones, this according to Charles Robinson, at least one team was a first-round pick plus players is what the Falcons were asking for. And the 49ers obviously can't go do that, and I wouldn't think that they should do that anyway, so that's kind of moot. But the best the 49ers can do is a second-rounder and maybe throw a little something on top of it. But Charles says he has a hard time believing they will get that and that a few teams – have been this from Josina Anderson, that a few teams believe that they are asking a little too much right now still. So maybe it'll take a while for the Julio thing to happen and their price has to come down if they're still trying to ask for a first rounder. I mean, Julio Jones is a stud player, but at this point, the 49ers don't have a first anyway, so they just can't go there even if they wanted to.
If I'm shopping somebody, I'm also going to say that I'm getting first round offers as well.
It's coming from the Falcons, obviously, right? Yeah. It has to be. They're trying to get as much as they can. And now it's the first day that they could actually start to trade him. So maybe they're just trying to get those last offers before they do that.
Right.
Will be interesting. You know what's funny about the Robbie Anderson thing, too, is the reason that he might be available is because the Panthers went and drafted Terrace Marshall out of LSU in the draft. If the 49ers needed a wide receiver, then why didn't they just draft Terrace Marshall at 48, right?
And, you know, I loved Terrace Marshall, right? I mean, just he was my third ranked receiver in this class. And I thought very highly of him. So when you see him there, you know, in the second round, it's like, oh, my gosh, you got to take him. But, you know, obviously they went in a different direction. But, yeah, I think that he is somebody that could potentially force Robbie Anderson out of there. I mean, but if you have them both this year, you might as well stick with, you know, DJ Moore, let Terrace Marshall kind of, I was going to say learn the offense, but, I mean, this is the offensive coordinator from LSU.
Yeah.
So
and the quarterback that Robbie Anderson knows from the Jets, too. So there's a lot of familiarity in the building right there. I'd say you keep them all and just go to town and try to score some points and win some games, right? Because they were drafted number 8 overall for a reason. I actually like the way the Panthers are going. I think they've put together 2 really good drafts in a row.
Yeah.
All right, good stuff. This isn't a Panthers podcast, so we'll stop that talk right now. And thanks, Nick, for joining the show, as always.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Eric and I will be back tomorrow right here, Locked On 49ers.
Mm-hmm.